Welcome to Frenzy on the Podcast right here on Movie City News. You know, it's really funny. I'm about to interview Mark Hopkins, who directed the wonderful documentary Living in Emergency, Stories of Doctors Without Borders. And I just happened to get sick on the day that I'm interviewing him, a guy who did a documentary about doctors. So I guess it's not world-class irony, but it's pretty ironic. Anyway, Mark Hopkins, I'm really excited to interview him because his documentary, Living in Emergency, is really incredible. It's about the Doctors Without Borders, and he had unprecedented access for 2 years filming these people in Liberia and Congo, and it's like a real-life Hurt Locker, except the bombs are people. Anyway, so without any further ado, let's talk to Mark Hopkins. So first of all, I just wanted to say that this was a fantastic, fantastic documentary, and I really, I just really admire, I mean, what you did. I mean, being able to film these doctors for, it was over a period of 2 years. I mean, you had to be in these places too, and so that's kind of, you know, daunting. But I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you is, how did you get involved in this? How did you decide that this is a topic that you wanted to make a movie about?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your kind comments. Yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. But, I mean, I just thought it would be a fascinating story environment, and what you have is some of the sort of more hardcore, you know, pretty smart, hardcore people working in some of the most intense environments on the planet. And knowing very little about the organization, but just knowing enough to know that in a way, they're sort of like, I don't know, the special forces or sort of the real, like, you know, medical front lines. And that it's extremely competitive to get in, because they just don't want to waste institutional resources on people they don't think are going to cut it, you know. But I thought we'd find some pretty, pretty out there type of characters. I mean, really, people that were sort of, you know, as we ended up being, sort of, but all consumed with that environment, because it's all facets of the human experience. It's not just the work that they're doing. You're in this, it's almost like an electric, crazy environment where, you know, just everything seems like it's all being turned up to 11 or something. You know, it really is quite intense.
Yeah. Well, and how did you narrow down, you know, the cast, basically, to these four main doctors? How did that come about? Did you have any relationships with any of them beforehand, or did you go over there and then you witnessed them in action and then go back?
Well, no, we didn't really know them beforehand. We had a structural idea of what we wanted to do, which is, in a way, to parallel the journey from a first mission newbie to a 10-year veteran who's sort of on the way out. And so we went in really deliberately looking to try and find people that we thought would best embody, you know, the various stages of, you know, a sort of 10-year sort of MSF field life, by, you know, sort of comparing and contrasting the perspective that an overwhelmed first mission has in contrast to an experienced veteran, in contrast to an experienced veteran who's now become, in a way, somewhat cynical and burnt out. Mm-hmm. And so the four characters, in a way, all sort of embody a particular sort of phase, I suppose, on the trajectory of, you know, beginning knowing nothing to 10 years down the road having a pretty thorough understanding of how to live and survive, and maybe you've done too much now that a sort of a seasoned veteran might have.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. The movie that this that your documentary most reminded me of, in a way, was The Hurt Locker, because you have, you know, these people going into situations that are just, I mean, unfathomable to most human beings, and how it's heroic what they're doing, but yet it, I mean, I remember one character says it's very rewarding, but it fucks you up a bit.
Right.
Very early on in the movie.
Yeah,
and I thought that was an interesting thing, because they're heroes, but then you see that they're just human beings like anybody else.
Right.
And is that something that you wanted to explore a little bit? How, like, anybody can kind of be a hero? It's just about putting...
Yeah, well, absolutely. In a way, it's actually, we were trying not to demystify the hero myth, but to make the visceral reality of the field, you know, so palpable. And how, I mean, one of the other characters says, you know, she, I don't know if this is true, but she thinks that anyone placed in that situation would sort of respond in the same way. Whether that's true or not, what is sort of undeniable is it's a bit like having your, you know, your fingers stuck into an electric socket. You arrive in those situations and you just are sort of geared into a whole different, like, frequency of operating and just everything, yeah?
Mm.
Work hard, play hard, the whole thing. And so we very consciously went in a way to not go down the line of the sort of, you know, the sort of the white hero rushing in to save lives and save the world and isn't it all okay? Because
right.
they don't view themselves as that. They're fully aware of the limit of what they're actually able to do. And the trick is actually for the people that manage to have the, I don't know, fortitude to go past their first mission, are people that make that connection that really, you know, the reward from the patient in front of you should be enough, and the lifestyle and the whole sort of environment. And if you spend too much time dwelling on the overwhelming nature, you're not going to last very long.
Right. Well, I remember there was the Tom Kruger, the American, he says, I think towards the end of the film, you know, that this is a very selfish thing. You know, you're fixing other people to fix yourself.
Right.
And I thought that was a really interesting thing. I never heard it put quite that way.
It was a very smart observation, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a degree to which, you know, a lot of people, and doctors particularly, maybe Tom's case is trying to return to the sort of the essence of why he became a doctor in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people have lives in a sort of Western setting that for some reason they find unsatisfactory. So there's definitely a degree to which the individuals feel that they have had the privilege of being in these environments, or they've had a great reward that comes at a price. It's
right.
And here's the thing, is like, you're the only person there, so if you can't do the job, the person's going to die, yeah? So when you actually pull the job off with limited resources, you know, you feel pretty charged about having done what you've done, yeah?
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean, they do feel that, you know, they're not heroes. They're, like, you know, very human people put in extraordinary situations who, the ones that, I suppose, rise to the challenge are the ones that have the... I don't know, the balls, the fortitude, the whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult thing for people to predict beforehand, before anyone leaves, and that's one of, I think, their big struggles, is trying to work out, okay, this guy's got great medical qualifications, is he going to cut it in the field? You know, that's how do you prepare someone for something that is so beyond what they've ever experienced before? It's very difficult.
Right. Well, you know, I thought probably the most fascinating arc in the movie was... Davinder Gill, the guy in FOIA, because at one point Kiara says to him that says about him that he's like Kurtz from Heart of Darkness,
right?
And I thought that was so fascinating. This guy, I mean, he goes to this place in Liberia that's like I think you said it's a 3 days journey away from like anything
capital, yeah,
and he's there basically by himself. And from the first scene, I mean, the first scene you see him in is when he goes, and that woman, I don't even know what she had. It was like that.
It's a distended hernia. Yeah, I mean, it's a massive hernia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and basically, like, they had to, like, push it in.
Right.
Or, I mean, I pride myself in having a pretty strong stomach, but that was really difficult to watch. And I can't even imagine for you to be there filming that. I mean, that goes basically to the heart of what I want to ask you, is how hard was this for you?
It was, like I said, it was all-consuming, and it was, I mean, I first have to point out is that what we put in the film is a tiny fraction of what we actually
right.
witnessed. And we felt it was important to put, you know, a sprinkling of some of that medical intensity just so people can have an understanding of just how, like, like nuts, you know, these situations are. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, one of the first like shots we took with the cameraman, like we walked into the operating room, and you can see like through the lens, you see him like focus in, and then all of a sudden like he sees what he's seeing, and you see the camera like shoot up to the ceiling.
Okay.
Because he was just not, you know, prepared for that. And it, you know, it took a while to sort of get into the sort of, this is like a crazily intense sort of world that we're now like, you know, enmeshed in. But then coupled with that is then we had, you know, sort of a year of editing after that, when we're going over these images again and again, and they're really starting to sort of sear into your brain, and that was it's quite full on actually, yeah.
Well, did you eventually become desensitized to it?
You get a general sort of, I suppose, we were none of us are doctors, but a practical understanding of what's going on. What still, I think, impacts anyone, doctors, even if they've seen 1,000 patients in terrible situations, is actually the degree of, like, human pain. So you've got some very, like, extreme situations where people are, you know, they're anesthetized, and you sort of understand that doctors are doing their job. But, you know, when you, you know, just as a human being reacting to another human being is in, like, an incredible amount of, you know, pain, that's something that I don't think you ever really do become desensitized to.
Yeah. Well, something else I wanted to ask you is, oh, sorry, I lost my notes. Well, I noticed that the film was, I mean, this is an organization that is primarily, like, a, I would think, full of liberals. And I was just curious if you encountered anybody in the organization that you would think, that you would call, like, a political conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're sort of off the political charts in a way. I mean, in all aspects. I don't know how you'd. I mean, they make a point of like the neutrality of the doctor. That's really a big thing to them.
No, for sure. Yeah.
And so in terms of people's, that's the other thing, is like once you get into the field, which is why we didn't actually do this in the film, because it sort of fits with the reality of the field. It's somewhat irrelevant what your background is. The fact that you're there is what counts.
Yeah.
And because it's so much more intense than anything you came from, you know, they're incredibly strong friendships that form for people, you know, who work in the field. And then they have sort of curious interactions when they sort of come back to their, I suppose, you know, more comfortable Western existence. And then they start, you know, getting to know someone out of that framework who might actually, you know, have very different political views, or you know, come from a very different sort of background, but in the field, all that stuff is pretty irrelevant. You know, when the bodies are dropping, you know, people just roll up their sleeves and get to it.
Well, one of the sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say that I'm sure there are people that have more right wing and more left wing, you know, perspectives, but I think there's a, I think it's, I don't know, use this word, but it's sort of quite radical in a way. I mean, what they're doing is sort of, is like, let's find the most extreme places and try and get the best care to those people in those extreme cases, yeah?
Well, absolutely. It's definitely a radical thing. It's, everyone's running away and they're running towards this giant fire. I mean, that's...
Right. I mean, they try and go the places where no one else is, type of thing. And it's like, when other people start showing up, it's like, well, maybe it's time to leave now, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the parts that really stuck with me was when Kiara goes to she goes to West Point in Liberia,
right?
And it's just like I have never seen anything quite like that before. I mean, the squalor that these people are living in is just unimaginable, and I'd never really seen that. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever filmed there before.
I don't think so. I mean, now more and more people have gone to Liberia, but it was pretty much a forgotten corner of the city. And, you know, it sort of got a lot of shelling during the Civil War there. I mean, I spent a lot of time, like, growing up in Africa, and that was also quite arresting for me. I mean, I remember seeing, like, an elderly, like, couple, you know, which is a feat in itself to survive, to be in your 70s or something, but who were like stoning each other. I mean, I was just like, that's just, you know, I've never seen anything like that in my life, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't even imagine. It just seems like it's so far removed from this Western existence, you know, and yeah, and I think that your movie is just a phenomenal looking glass.
Well, it's very, very good of you to say so. I mean, I hope people find it like engaging, and it really, we try to do our best to replicate or do justice to the experience that we have being in those situations, you know?
Yeah. Well, well, I also wanted to ask you, more generally speaking, is like, were there any documentaries that you had watched before you embarked on this that you were like, oh, this is, I want our movie to feel something like this? Or were there any documentaries that inspired you?
Not really. We really wanted to try and do like a, you know, verite sort of, you know, like warts and all, like enmesh people in the field. And I mean, no one's really ever been allowed to do this sort of stuff with them before.
Right.
And I was quite aware of a sort of traditional, like in a way, cause documentary genre that I really did not want to go in the direction of.
Mm.
So it was, I suppose it was more like the certain types of things we really did not want to do. There's a sort of a fictional correspondent, I suppose, somewhat with the sort of MASH-esque type of thing.
Right.
Obviously in a sort of more, in a real sort of setting. But trying to capture like all the different facets of a human in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that, you know, these guys do, they also, you know, they party hard, you know, they work hard, they party hard. And, I mean, it was exhausting just trying to keep up with them, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing I wanted to ask. I don't know if you kept up with any of the people that you met there.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we ended up becoming sort of, you know, once we were allowed into the sort of, you know, the cocoon or the whatever, the you know, the team, as it were, you know, we were just like, okay, fine, you know, this is the film crew, and for some reason, these have been the guys that have been allowed to do this, and they pretty much left us alone from a film point of view. But we became great friends with a lot of the people that we, you know, we spent a lot of time with, to the point where, you know, we've had that shared experience with them, so much in the same way that, you know, when, in a way, they leave the organization, and a lot of the people that they now have friendship with are the only people that can really understand what they've been through, are the people that have had similar field experience to them. You know, we've had very strong friendships formed with some of the people we spent a lot of time with, like Chiara and Chris Brasher.
Mm-hmm.
They've become good friends, despite the fact that, you know, it's always a little awkward, I think, for people to see themselves on screen and, you know. You know, they sort of got over that, and, you know, in general, they think we've done a pretty decent job of, you know, replicating the sort of the frequency at which sort of field life runs.
Well, what I wanted to ask is whether or not any of these people, I mean, because basically I feel like they went to war.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's a good, yeah.
And I'm just curious if they suffered any of the psychological effects that people who go to war suffer.
Mm. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a sort of informal, I suppose, support network that exists through these friendships. I mean, there's a good community of people that have spent many years in the field who have a hard time really relating to, you know, just people in their home countries who haven't had such an experience. And so their network of friends tends to really revolve around, you know, if they spend 10 years in the organization, people that, you know, they've worked with and who understand where they're coming from. And there's also like a formal process that's in place that the organization does do. I mean, they debrief everyone, and they, you know, there's sort of counseling available for them and all that. I mean, they're very alert to this as an issue. It's, you know, it's the fallout of, you know, like pushing yourself to the max in sort of the most intense environments, you know.
Right.
Everyone has their limits, you know, there's the individual limits, there's the organization's limits, you know.
Yeah.
And they're all pushing from all sides.
Well, I just wanted to ask one last question. This is something that I ask everybody that I interview, and that's, what is your favorite movie?
What's my favorite movie?
I mean, you can pick a couple.
Yeah, I mean, seeing as we're in this realm and you've brought it up, Apocalypse Now would probably be a good reference point.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've actually quite rated the documentary Coppola's wife made, The Heart of Darkness.
Oh, that's a fantastic one, yeah.
Which I thought was great. It's actually one of the first theatrical docs I ever saw, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anything else? Or?
I don't know. I don't know. That's,
I put you on the spot.
Right. No, I mean, from a, like, out of this arena, I mean, I'd say one of the more, out there film experiences I had was when I first went to see Pulp Fiction. I mean, just partly I just spent a year in Vietnam and I came back to the States and it was just opening. And it was, it was something of a game changer, I suppose. But
yeah.
I was right at that age when, it was, it was like, 22, 23, whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also wanted to ask you, are you working on anything else now? Is there another documentary in the future?
I'm sort of looking at a combination of fictional and non-fictional projects, or maybe a blend of the two. And I'm starting to put together some ideas. It's a big challenge to try and, come up with something that really you want to invest a couple of years of your life to really do it properly.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure you're picking a good framework to start with and then start sort of painting the structure.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best. And I really wish this film the best. I think you did a fantastic job and I think it's a movie that everyone should see. I hope everyone that's listening to this will see it, because it's I wouldn't say it's important with quotes, but I think it's important that people see it. So,
well, that's very good of you to say so. I mean, like I said, we deliberately didn't want to make it as a message film, but I think it's the message is the message. I mean, the hopefully the experience of living in the field for 90 minutes with these guys is something that can be of some sort of value to people in terms of feeling that they've engaged completely, and probably as different an environment as you could probably have when you live in a country where you can afford to buy a movie ticket to go and see a film like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
No, pleasure. I'm sorry you're ill.
No, that's fine. I'll be fine. It's the people in this movie that I worry about. So.
Right. People hopefully should feel fortunate about the fact that, if you get sick in the States, there are obviously issues with the healthcare service, but they're nowhere near as problematic as getting sick in a war zone.
Yeah, exactly. It made me quite thankful for what I have. So, all right. Well, thank you so much once again.
No, my pleasure.
All right, and good luck.
No, thank you very much.
Bye. That's all the time we have for today, folks. I just wanted to say thank you once again to Mark Hopkins for allowing me to interview him. And thanks to The Rassle. They're the band whose music played at the beginning of this. So thanks. And as always, you can email me at noah@moviecitynews.com. Thanks.